Psalm 55:22. Cast your burden upon the Lord, and He will sustain you. He will never suffer the righteous to be shaken. Psalm 55:22. Jude 24. God is able to keep you from stumbling and to present you faultless before the presence of His glory with exceeding joy. Jude 24. Be thankful unto Him and bless His name. Psalm 104. Enter into His gates with thanksgiving and into His courts with praise. Be thankful unto Him and bless His name. Psalm 104. Will you open your Bibles this evening, please, to Ephesians chapter 1, verses 22 and 23. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 22-23. What's exciting when we study the Bible is that we're always learning new things.
I think something happened to your mic, Pastor.
I was thinking I had it on. It is on, sir.
We cut out inside. I'm sorry.
That's okay.
It's on here. Okay. Thank you. Sorry.
No problem. Let's be sure that we're getting it on. What is wonderful about studying the Bible is that you're always finding something new. And tonight we're going to seek to add another word to your vocabulary. If you do not have this word in your vocabulary, we want to add that word tonight, found in Ephesians 1, 22 and 23. And it is the word plero, P-L-E-R-O-O. So I'm beginning tonight a little different since we're trying to be sure that we're on the air. So are we okay? As far as we know, we are. The word is plero, P-L-E-R-O-O. Ephesians chapter 1, verses 22-23. We spend a moment in prayer before we begin our study this evening. All of us are aware of the fact that to study God's Word is absolutely essential that we have our hearts in tune in fellowship with the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's the reason why we spend these first few moments in silence and in prayer, to be sure that we are in tune, in fellowship with our Lord. The Scripture says if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. How fantastic that is, to know that we're cleansed of sin, filled with the Spirit, and ready to receive and metabolize His wonderful Word. May we pray together, please. Father, we're thankful for the privilege of being here tonight. We rejoice in the fact that we realize how wonderful it is to be a member of the royal family, to be an heir of God and a joint heir with Jesus Christ, to have the assurance that heaven is our eternal home, that we'll be absent from this body, but we'll be with our Lord throughout eternity. We thank you for each person in this auditorium this evening. We thank you for every person hearing this voice. We're aware of the fact that salvation is a gift from God, a magnificent and marvelous gift. When we see that God loves us, we love the world. Not only us individually, but we love the world. That's the reason why we see so many times that magnificent verse, John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever would believe in Him would not perish, but have everlasting life." We're thankful for that. We thank you for the joy, the happiness. We thank you for the fact that you've given us that which we need to fill up all deficiencies in our lives. We pray that you'll bless us in these moments now as we study your word. We pray in Jesus' name, amen. On the screen, you're going to see Ephesians 1, 22, and 23. Some of you are saying, well, I thought you preached on those verses. Yes, we did. But I found out, again, that the Bible is not a book where we have chapter divisions, even though in whatever translation you have a division. You have chapter 1, now chapter 2, chapter 3. You do not find that in the original text. And so what I'm discovering is that I thought that I would be going next Sunday to Ephesians chapter 2, verse 1, and tell you that we're in a new chapter. And then I realized that when I got to the very first word in the chapter 2, verse 1, I found that it was a continuation of the two verses that we've just been studying, verse 22 and 23. And so tonight I feel like I have to tell you that and get you prepared for what we'll be doing as we move into your Bible, my Bible, the next chapter of next Sunday, verse 1. On the screen you see Ephesians 1:22. I'll read this, "And hath put under his feet and gave to him all things to be head over all things, the church." That's Ephesians 1:22. Then if you'll look, please, at Ephesians 1:23, which is the body of him, the fullness of the one being filled with reference to all things. What I want you to see is, and perhaps you will be able to do it, notice, if you will, the word pleroo. I put this on the screen for you to see so that you can look at this verse from the original text and find it. It is the word pleroo. You follow that? We put it, transliterated it, and we put it in English for you to see. Pleroo. Even though you may not be able to read the Greek, I want you to be able to see that if you look at this word right here, this is the Greek word, then while you're looking at the verse that I have on the screen in a few moments, you're going to be able to see a word similar to this, which is pleroo. Now, since I said that to you, I'm sure that you're going to be able to find this. Which is the body of him, the fullness, P-L-E-R-O-M-A, you can see a similarity here, of the one being filled. Again, you're able to see that this particular word is, the root word is P-L-E-R-O-O. Now, there's a reason for me doing this tonight, because I want you to be able to see that God has a plan for your life and mine, and that our lives be full, happy, radiant, complete, triumphant, victorious lives. God does not want us to be perplexed, bewildered, confused, frustrated. God has designed a plan for us to have a full, happy, radiant, wonderful life. I want you to see that this word, pleroo, is used in many different ways in the text, the original text of the New Testament. On the screen now, I'm going to give you these words, and then I'm going to give you the translation of the word. The first word that you can see, if you can see it from where you're sitting, is the word P-L-E-R-E-S, pleroes. You can see all of these words are similar, and I'm just trying to let you see how unique this is. This word that I have on the screen for you now is P-L-E-R-E-S, which means full, nothing lacking, complete, or fully possessed. The reason that I'm sharing this with you tonight is because I want you to see that the Word of God has designed for you and me a magnificent, wonderful life. It is presented to us over and over again by the use of this word in the various stages of this particular word. The first one is pleroes, P-L-E-R-E-S, which means full, nothing lacking, complete, fully possessed. Now notice, if you will, there's another word. I have it on the screen for you. Here it is, the way it looks from the Greek into the English. P-L-E-R-O, P-H-O-R-E-O. Plero poreo. Now that word means to fill out, to fill up a deficiency, to fill completely. All you're able to see with me tonight is that I'm giving you the various words related to the word that I have on the screen at the beginning, plero. The next word that I present to you is P-L-E-R-O-O, which means to fill with quality or to fully influence. We're going to deal with that word in a few moments. The next word is P-L-E-R-O-P-H-O-R-I-A. And here it is in the Greek. That word means full assurance. Full assurance. Certainty. I have to put down the word excitement. Thrill, joy, peace, contentment. And then the last word that I have on the screen for you is this Greek word. Here it is transliterated, P-L-E-R-O-M-A, pleroma. And here it is in the Greek. If you are learning the Greek letters, and I trust you are, you're able to see that this is P-L-E-R-O-M-A. And I have it written out for you. That which fills. That which means fullness. We're emphasizing the Christian life. We're emphasizing what God's plan is for you and for me. When I look this word up in Strong's Concordance, here's what I have found. He puts the word plero, to make full, to complete. And now he wants to help us to see that the original word is P-L-E-R-O-O. Isn't that interesting? That's what we've been talking about ever since we started here tonight. Part of speech, a verb. A verb is an action word. What about how to pronounce it phonetically? Well, you pronounce it P-L-A-Y-R-O-O. Plero-O. I'm trying to be as simple as I can and as profound as I can to let you see what we're dealing with tonight is the word plero-O. A short definition of the word, Strong says, I fill, fulfill, complete. And then he gives us a definition. The definition is, I fill, fulfill, complete, and I like to use the word to fill up a lacking, fill up a deficiency. When I go to Ephesians chapter 5, verse 18, I'm looking for that word, plero-O. And here's what I read in Ephesians 5, 18. You're familiar with the verse, you probably already memorized it. Ephesians 5:18 says, and be not drunk with wine, in which is wastefulness, wantonness. Then it says, but be filled with the Spirit. Most of us have memorized that verse, be not drunk with wine, where it is excess, but be ye filled with the Holy Spirit. That's the way we learned it in the King James Version. But look at it now again. Be not drunk with wine, in which is wantonness, wastefulness. But I'll look with you now at the last words in this Ephesians 5:18, which is, but be filled with the Spirit. And I have cheated for you. I underline the word. Maybe you can see it from where you're sitting. The word is underlined here, P-L-E-R-O-O. That's the word we're emphasizing tonight. Before we leave here tonight, you're going to be able to say, you know what he spoke on? Plero-O. I'm sure that you will because you're going to hear it over and over and over again. But I want you to see that when you go to Ephesians 5:18, I want to know how the word is used in the sentence in order for me to be able to properly define for you and explain to you and excitedly present to you, I have to show you that the word to be filled with the Spirit is a present tense, which means continuous action. It's God's plan for us to be continually under the control of the Spirit of God and not under the control of our sinful nature. I have to let you know that that is not going to be what you and I do every day we live. We're not going to be continually, moment by moment, always cleansed of sin and filled with the Holy Spirit because we're human. and we have a sinful nature, and we're going to find ourselves many times out of harmony, out of fellowship, not under the control of the Word of God or the Spirit of God, but under the control of our old sinful nature. That's not God's plan for us to be under the control of our sinful nature, but we're human beings and we make mistakes. So the present tense says here that you and I have the responsibility of being continually filled with the Spirit and under the control of the Word of God and the Spirit of God. Notice what else is found in this verb, and that is, it's a passive voice. The passive voice says the subject receives the action. This tells me, and I need to tell you, that this tells me that you and I, within our own flesh and with our own desires, cannot completely, moment by moment, always be filled with the Holy Spirit. When we are the recipients, passive voice, we're the recipients of the filling of the Holy Spirit. We didn't fill ourselves with the Holy Spirit. We didn't make ourselves good to the point where God would then, on the basis of our goodness, fill us with the Spirit. This is simply saying that when we admit our faults and failures and sins, then He will allow us to be the recipients, and we're the receiving, and the receiving end of this deal, we receive the filling of the Holy Spirit. But notice also that IMP is the abbreviation for the imperative mood, a command. Wow, what am I seeing here? I'm seeing something I have to share with you, and that is that the Word of God tells us that we are commanded to be cleansed of sin and filled with the Holy Spirit. Now, I could spend the rest of the night on Ephesians 5:18, but I won't do that. But I will go now to the Revelation passage in Revelation chapter 3. You'll probably remember that in Revelation we have an emphasis upon the seven churches of Asia Minor. When I first read these verses, this verse that I'm presenting to you out of these verses, I got to thinking, you know what? That must be the church at Laodicea. Because the church at Laodicea was the lukewarm church, not hot or cold, but lukewarm. But then I went and I found myself again in chapter 3 of Revelation, and I found this first verse had to do with the church at Sardis. But look at what it says in verse 2. Be watchful and strengthen the things which remain that are ready to die. For I have not found thy works perfect before God. This is the church at Sardis. And there are, as you look at these seven churches of Asia Minor, there's an emphasis upon faults and failures of each of them. And this particular one, let me show you again what it says. Be watchful, be alert, be on guard, and strengthen the things which remain that are ready to die. For I have not found thy works perfect, and there's that Greek word, pleroma, or pleroo. I have not found your works complete, perfect, before God. And I notice the way the word is used is so fantastic. You may or may not know this, but through the years I had the privilege, not because I claim to be all that smart, but I have the privilege of sharing the original language with other individuals. And right now I have that, and I'm trying to teach the emphasis on the various types of verbs. And this particular one is one that I have made mention of from this pulpit over and over and over again over these past 40 some odd years. And it is the perfect tense verb. I would imagine that if I came and sat by you tonight, you having listened to me preach over a period of time, if I should say this is a perfect tense verb, you would probably know what I'm about to say. Most of you would. A perfect tense emphasizes something that happened in the past, consummated in the past, and the results of that particular consummation continues to this very present moment. You've heard me say that hundreds of times over the past years. This is the reason why in Ephesians 2, 8 and 9 it says, "For by grace you've been saved." Perfect tense verb. You've been saved in the past. It's been consummated in the past. And the result of that which God did for you in the past is as good today as it's ever been. That's the perfect tense verb. Right here we have the same type of verb. It's a perfect passive, but this time it's a participle. I'm not going to go into this anymore other than to let you know that we have pointed out two verses of Scripture that uses this word, plero. Now, when I decided to preach tonight on this subject, I put myself a little note. 11 ways to see plero. And then I realized that that was not proper, because you're not supposed to end anything with a number that's not an even number. I've been told that in the seminary. And so I felt like that I shouldn't close out this session with 11 ways, and so I put down in a conclusion. And my conclusion is number 12. So I'm going to be ending with an even number. Are you folks okay with that? Now just remember that I had 11 points, then I added up another point to make it an even number. You're listening. Number one, this word is used, and I'm going to present at least 11 different ways that the word is used. Plero is used for spiritual growth in the Bible. It emphasizes what we call the construction of the spiritual house of the soul. Now, what does that mean? Does that mean that you have somewhat of a house living inside of you? You have a tent somewhere? Do you have somewhat of a construction, physical construction? No. We're talking about spiritually building a spiritual house of the soul. And so, when we notice the Lord Jesus Christ, by the time he was about 11 or 12 years of age, he had reached the construction of that spiritual house of the soul that's presented to us in Luke chapter 2, verse 40. Which is interesting indeed. It says that Jesus increased in wisdom and in stature and in favor with God and man. Now, if you'll take a look, you will discover that that is four major areas of life. Jesus Christ increased in wisdom and in stature and in favor with God and man. Now, I'm not going to go into that anymore other than to remind you that by the time Jesus Christ got to be about 11 or 12 years of age, it appears by that verse, Luke 2:40, that he had advanced greatly. Now, on the screen, you're going to see a picture. You've seen this before. We're going to say a little bit about it. This is what we call building the spiritual house of the soul. This is just simply a way of saying it. It's another way of saying it. And so we start off with salvation. That's the foundation. And then we have an emphasis on the filling of the Holy Spirit. That's the second step that we're seeing. And then we have the time that you and I continue our spiritual advance until we reach a point that is described as not gnosis, knowledge, but epinosis, which means complete, full epinosis, full knowledge. This is God's plan for us as believers. Not to be a baby believer, not to be a napios, a baby sucking on the bottle. God's plan is for us to be advancing on a moment-by-moment, day-by-day basis. And so we will reach a point where we're classified as having a full and complete knowledge. Not everything that there's to be learned, but we're advancing up the highway of building this spiritual house of the soul. The next step is humility. The next step is love. The next step is rapport. I'm moving this rapidly. And then we get to the point of the Greek word charis, C-H-A-R-I-S, which means joy, and it actually means happiness. So it's God's plan for the believer to advance to the point that there is joy, peace, and happiness on a moment-by-moment basis, no matter what the circumstances are. In other words, if your life and my life is properly related to the Lord Jesus Christ, even when things bad are happening to us, we still look beyond that and see our personal relationship to Jesus Christ, and there's victory always in Him. So, point one is that the word is used for spiritual growth, the building of the spiritual house of the soul. Number two, the same verb is used in other passages of Scripture, like Ephesians 3:19, Ephesians 4:10. We should be looking at these, but I can't take the time to do all of that. I want you to see, you ought to write these verses, Colossians 1:9. The same verb is used in these verses for the construction of the spiritual house of each born-again believer. Now, if you'll notice, number one, plero is used for growth, the construction of the spiritual house in the person, humanity, of Jesus Christ. Now we're moving from the humanity of Jesus Christ while He was on this earth for those 33 years to the time that you and I are on the earth now. By the way, the Lord has been good to me to allow me to have more than 33 years. He's allowed you to have some years, however many, wherever you are tonight. So the same verb is used not only for the humanity of Jesus Christ building this spiritual house, but for you and me in Ephesians 3:19, 4:10, Colossians 1:9. Number three, the verb is also used for the believer being controlled by the Holy Spirit. And this is the verse that I started off with here this evening, Ephesians 5:18. The verb is used to show the believer under the control of the Holy Spirit. Number four, the word plero is used for God's perfect happiness in the believer as that believer travels up the highway of grace to what we call the mountain peak of the echo zone. Now, those of you who've been with us over the years are familiar with the letters EZ echo zone. In case you're not, let me just remind you that this is an emphasis upon how God desires for each one of us on a day-by-day basis to love Jesus Christ supremely, receive the imputation, the impartation, and dissemination of truth so that we can see from a vertical divine viewpoint rather than from a human horizontal viewpoint. So number four, plero is used as God's perfect happiness in the believer's life as that believer travels over a period of time, gains spiritual momentum, and gets to the mountain peak of the echo zone. I should let you go with me to these verses, but only brief time, let me tell you, Philippians 2:2, 1 John 1:4, John 16:24, and John 17:13. Number five, plero is also used for the production of what we call vertical good. Vertical good means that those things that we do while in harmony, in fellowship with the Lord Jesus Christ, is God's good. In other words, it is not phalos, it is not dung, it is not kalos, which is a good that is not equal to agathos, which is intrinsic good. So we are seeing some words here from the original language that lets us know that this word plero is used for the production of vertical divine good. If I could not do anything else tonight but help you see that if you and I live each day in proper relationship to Jesus Christ, and if we have advanced enough in the Word of God that we're able to take the Word of God and make application of various scriptures to various circumstances in life. Do you see what I'm saying? In other words, when you're faced with a difficulty, when you're faced with someone you love passing away, when you're faced with various tragedies and temptations in life, how are you going to handle that? Are you going to look at it from a horizontal human viewpoint? Or are you, because you've advanced enough in the Word of God, you're pausing for a moment, you're moved emotionally, you're disturbed, and then you think for just a few seconds, and then you begin to utilize the spiritual food that you've taken in over the past weeks and months and years, and you begin to then make application of those spiritual truths to that particular situation, whatever the situation is. There's a difference between seeing things from God's vantage point and seeing things from a human standpoint. And let me tell you something. You and I are going to see things only from a human standpoint unless we have our minds captivated with the Word of God and our minds focused upon the person of Jesus Christ preeminently. Play will always use for God's perfect happiness in the believer as that believer gets to the mountain peak. And number five again, play role is used for the production of vertical good. Some of you are taking these notes. I hope you are. Number six, play role is used in the Bible for the pastor who communicates faithfully the Word of God to people whom he loves. And you have to understand that the Lord has been good to me to allow me to be here these 43 years. By the way, I need to tell you, not only has the Lord blessed me with the privilege of preaching and communicating to you, but the Lord has blessed me with a companion for almost now 64 years. She's not in here now, so I can tell you that. But I want you to know that I have been tremendously, marvelously blessed. So, play role is used for the pastor who communicates faithfully the Word of God to his right congregation. Colossians 1:25. Number seven, play role is used for the freedom of the believer through what we call positional truth. Now, let me stop for a moment on the word positional. When we think in terms of sanctifications being set apart, there is positional sanctification, there is experiential sanctification, and there's ultimate sanctification. How many times have you heard that? Probably hundreds of times. Positional sanctification means your position, my position, in relationship to our Lord. That's positional sanctification for salvation. Experiential sanctification means what we're doing right now. We're listening, learning, studying the Scripture. That's experiential sanctification. And then there's ultimate sanctification. And that's the point of time when your heart will tick for the last time. My breath will be the last breath. Whenever that happens to you and me, we'll be absent from this body, but we'll be in the presence of our Savior forever and ever. So, we have an emphasis then upon freedom. Oh, can you imagine the freedom that's going to be ours when we leave this life and in the Lord's presence throughout eternity? Number seven again, play role is used for the freedom of the believer through positional sanctification. Number eight, play role is used for the financial security of the pastor through giving whereby he's able to devote time to study and communicate the Word of God. And this is presented in Philippians 4:18. What I'm saying here, and I want you to be able to see it, that this word plero'o is used for security, financial security of the pastor through the giving whereby he's able to devote time to the study and communication of the Word. God is good to me to allow me to get up in the morning and not do what many of you have to do, and that's get up and punch time clocks and go off to work. What I do is get up and go to the study to study, because I desire to love you in the way that I love you is study so I can communicate to you. So you see what is presented to us in Philippians 4:18. Number 9. I told you there were 11 points plus 1. Number 9. Plural is used for the completed structure of this spiritual house of the soul that's revealed in 1 John 1:4. And I have this one written out for you. 1 John 1:4. And these things write we unto you, that your joy may be full. Now, let me be sure that you see this. 1 John 1:4. It would have been wonderful for me to go through every verse that I've put on the screen tonight, but I want you to see this one for sure. I want you to look at it with me again. It is 1 John 1:4. And these things write we unto you, that your joy may be full. Now, let me show you how powerful this is. God doesn't want frustrated, perplexed, bewildered, confused believers. He does not want you to live a life of frustration. This verse tells us that again. It says, these things have been written that your joy may be full. And I notice, you have to understand that when I'm typing Greek transliteration, I type it in the English. And then I go back and I'm able to swipe over that word and take it to the Greek text. And it gives me then the Greek text. I failed to do that here. Now I just want you to know what I did, what I didn't do. If I had done that correctly, right here, I would have translated that or transferred it from the transliteration in the English to the letters in the Greek. I didn't do that here. I didn't see it until it was too late, and I decided it would be more fun for me to take time out to talk about it. So here it is. What type of verb is it? That your joy may be full. God designed the joy in the eternal ages past. It was consummated in the ages past. That joy still belongs to you and me now. But notice, if you will, please, how the word is used here. It's a passive voice, which means the subject has the opportunity to take advantage of that which has been fully completed for you and me. And then, lo and behold, it's a subjunctive mood. And the subjunctive mood shows potentiality on whether or not you and I will be smart enough to accept what He's provided so that we can have this kind of magnificent joy and happiness. Why do I study like this? Because I want to say things like this so you and I can see it clearly. In other words, the joy has been consummated in the past. There's no question about the fact that God designed for you and me happiness, joy, peace, contentment. But are we having it? Passive voice. It's been provided for us so that we can receive it. The passive voice says the subject receives the action of the verb. That's powerful, folks. That's powerful. But then it says, because we look at this particular word, and it is in the subjunctive mood, which is potential. I could spend 30 more minutes on that, but let me go to number 10. Plural is used for the fulfillment of Christ through the church under the analogy of a relationship between a husband and wife. The husband and the wife relationship is beautifully presented in Ephesians chapter 5. But what I'm seeing here, and this is presented in our verse 23, the word plerao is used for the fulfillment of Christ through the church as a beautiful analogy of a beautiful relationship of a husband and wife. Number 11. Plero-O is used for the failure to detect any echozone believers in the local church. And that's the reason why I gave you a few moments ago. The Lord could not find echozone believers in the church at Sardis. And I gave you that verse at the beginning. Now that leads me to the last point. Notice, if you will, please. This is a conclusion. I trust when you leave here tonight, you will remember the rest of your life the word plero-O and some of the things related that you've heard this evening. Number 12. Every believer has some deficiency, including the one who stands before you, everyone in this auditorium, every person hearing my voice tonight. Every believer has some deficiency. Therefore, daily spiritual advance is absolutely essential. It's exciting to me indeed to be able to look at this congregation and see people of all ages. But it really excites me to see young people and children listening to the communication of the Word. Let me tell you something, folks. You listen continually. You listen properly. You listen with your heart in tune with the Lord Jesus Christ. And I promise you, your future will be far better than it would ever be otherwise. We're adding to our vocabulary. The word we added tonight was plero-O. May we bow for prayer, please. Father, thank you that you've allowed us to take another look at how wonderful your word is and how magnificent it is for all of us to be recipients of your word, desiring to have the mind, the thinking of our Savior Jesus Christ. And we realize that the only way we can have that thinking is to have biblical thinking, biblical viewpoint, seeing as God sees. We're thankful for this magnificent book, the Bible, that gives us the way of life, the things that are wonderful for us, that you've provided for us joy, and we're the recipients of that joy if we accept it. And tonight we realize that some people who may be hearing this voice have never accepted Jesus Christ as Savior. They don't know the joy of salvation. We pray that they will understand tonight that when God loved, He loved them. And when Christ died, He died for them. He was buried. He came forth out of the grave. He ascended to sit at the Father's right hand. And He'll save them at this very moment if they'll trust you. We pray that they will do that. We realize that the Bible says, if you have the Son, you have life. If you don't have the Son, you don't have life. And that simply means that if a person has accepted Jesus Christ as Savior, that Jesus Christ has accepted that person. We accept Him. He accepts us. He saves us by His grace. We pray that there will be those at this very moment who will accept you. The Scripture says, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, you shall be saved. The Bible says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. We didn't say that. The Bible says that. Jesus said, I'm the way. So we realize tonight that salvation is by faith alone in Jesus Christ alone. We thank you for each person hearing the words that have been spoken tonight. We pray that there will be those who will trust you as their Savior. We thank you for the joy and the peace and happiness that you provided for each one of us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.